Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians right along the Southern California coast. Together, we seek to grow in our individual spirituality and in connected community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. For more information, visit our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Today's scripture reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, verses 5 to 15. It's the parable of the sower. A farmer went out to scatter his seed. As he was scattering it, some fell on the path where it was crushed, and the birds of the sky came and ate it. Other seed fell on rock. As it grew, it dried up because it had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorny plants. The thorns grew with the plants and choked them. Still other seed landed on good soil. When it grew, it produced 100 times more grain than was scattered. As he said this, he called out, "Everyone who has ears should pay attention." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "You have been given the mysteries of God's kingdom, but these mysteries come to everyone else in parables, so that when they see, they can't see, and when they hear, they can't understand." The parable means this: the seed is God's word. The seed on the path are those who hear, but then the devil comes and steals the word from their hearts so that they won't believe and be saved. The seed on the rock are those who receive the word joyfully when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but fall away when they are tempted. As for the seed that fell among thorny plants, these are the ones who, as they go about their lives, are choked by the concerns, riches, and pleasures of life, and their fruit never matures. The seed that fell on good soil are those who hear the word and commit themselves to it with a good and upright heart. Through their resolve, they bear fruit. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Jesus told more stories about money than he did about heaven. He talked more about the poor than he talked about prayer. And his parables, they weren't nice little moral lessons. They were hand grenades tossed into a polite dinner conversation. If you are ready to wrestle with a Jesus who is more dangerous and more wonderful than you imagined, hey, pull up a chair. There's still room at the table.
In the book on which our Lenten series is based, Bishop Will Willimon, who we just heard from, he describes a young man in his congregation, a former congregation. As a bishop, he didn't serve a single congregation. So before he was elected and consecrated as bishop, he had a young man in his congregation who was struggling. The way he writes it, the young man had flunked out of college, gotten engaged with various substances, and then he got a DUI. He ended up in jail for at least a couple of weeks. As he tells the story, the good people of that congregation wrote him off completely. They just decided he's obviously, I don't know, not one of us. I don't know how they framed it. I don't know how you can frame it like that, to be honest with you. Well, this young man found himself at a rock concert. Now, you all know my love for rock and roll, and I believe the gospel can be preached through a microphone. This young man was trying really hard not to think about anything, Because when you're in a place as deep as that must have been, you can imagine how just thinking anything just hurts. But there was a recurring lyric that came up during this rock concert. And it was one word and it was a question. Why? Why? On the drive home from the concert, and his girlfriend's with him, she says out of nowhere, why do you keep hurting yourself when God has given you so much? And in that moment, the young man just wept. He wept. He couldn't stop. It took months. But he found himself back in church, which I don't understand that level of character, to go back to a place that had written him off. He found himself back in church. He had a new job. He'd begun volunteering for a local food pantry. And in his own words, he says, I wasn't thinking about God. I was trying hard not to think about anything. And in one of those words, one of those songs, I heard the word why, and that's all. It's just a word. Just a single word. Sung from a stage into a crowd that was likely oblivious to its power. And this man heard it, and it shook him. The parable we heard today, Jesus tells this story about this kind of a moment. And then he has the gall to compare it to farming. And that story is the first in this series of riddles, parables, that Jesus told on his way to the table. And that road is where we're going to spend the next 6 weeks during this season of Lent. 6 weeks of Lent, six Sundays, the road from Ash Wednesday to Maundy Thursday. And we're following Jesus toward a table and toward his last meal with his disciples. And along the way to the table, he told stories, he told parables, he told riddles that prepared them, and I suggest prepares us, for what's coming. Now, Bishop Willimon's book, The Last Supper, Conversations That Led to the Cross, again, this is the guide for our journey during this Lenten season. And Bishop Willimon's premise is that Jesus taught almost entirely in parables. And in fact, the Gospels of Matthew and Mark say that nothing was taught except in parables. Now, you've heard me say the word riddles a couple of times. Bishop Willimon refers to them as riddles. They're stories designed to disorient, to relocate, and to open our eyes to a kingdom that is not from here. And so this week, we approach our first parable, our first riddle. Now, one of the persistent struggles for churches around the U.S., perhaps more broadly, Sunday is no longer a church day. It's no longer uncontested. If you have children or grandchildren, you understand that Sundays can be days for soccer games. They can be days for volleyball tournaments. Friday and Saturday for me were volleyball tournament days. Zach's team won the championship, by the way. In the gold bracket. I'm very proud. Volleyball tournaments, school performances, car shows, concerts, all of it lands on Sundays. And families have to choose. Now, I want to be clear, like these things that are competing for our time on Sundays, these are good things. These are life-giving things. It's not like I'm saying all of this stuff is bad. And for those of us who do show up on Sundays, the competition doesn't stop at the door. We all have full calendars. We all have packed weeks. We all have grocery lists that have to be filled out. We all have the weight of what's waiting for us tomorrow on Monday. And we bring all that in these doors with us. And sometimes it's all we can do to just be physically present, even if we're mentally somewhere else. Bishop Willimon calls it concerns, riches, and pleasures of life. It's not about vices. It's not about failures. It's the ordinary fullness of a life well lived. Of course, then think about it from a pastoral perspective. I probably put together 48 to 50 sermons a year, maybe a little more if you count some of the special services. I wonder how many. I say this with love, my friends, but with everything we all have going on, I wonder how many people can remember more than two or three. It's a drip, drip, drip of meager results. And the question is important to every single one of us. We in the room, online, is the word getting through to us? The parable is powerful. The farmer went out to scatter his seed. As he was scattering it, some fell on the path where it was crushed, and the birds on the sky came and ate it. Other seed fell on the rock, and as it grew, it dried up because it had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorny plants. The thorns grew with the plants and choked them. Still other seed landed on good soil. When it grew, it produced 100 times more grain that was scattered. Everyone who has ears should pay attention. There's a couple of things about this parable. One, and I say this not only because Bishop Willimon highlights it, but maybe he spent some time in farming communities, because in my time in the Midwest, man, this stands out. This is what farmers would see. That's some sloppy sowing. On the path, on the rocks, among the thorns. And if the people who are listening to Jesus' parable for the first time, if they have any experience with farming, and many in first century Palestine would, they would wince. This is not how you farm. That's not how it works. 75%, 3 out of 4, fail. Birds, droughts, thorns. Now, the disciples, of course, I suppose more of them are fishermen, right? We understand that from sacred text. Maybe that's why they ask for an explanation, because this is outside their context. What does it mean? And this, I think, is the only place where, following a parable, Jesus says, well, let me tell you what this is about. And he says, the seed is God's word, and the things that choke it aren't what we'd expect. The word is heard on the path, but then it's snatched away. The word is received with joy on the rock, but then it withers because it's got no root. The word is choked by the thorns, by the worries, the riches, and the pleasures of life. And Jesus just says this. He just says it matter-of-factly, without any kind of embellishment, without any kind of justification. This is just how it goes. Jesus describes what can only be understood by farmers as a farming disaster. 75% loss, but then he does something unexpected. Instead of calling it a disaster, he pivots to the 25%. Still other seed landed on good soil. And when it grew, it produced 100 times more than what was scattered. Jesus shifts the focus to what happens next. Now, a hundredfold harvest. Now, think about this in first century context, first century farming. In first century farming, a tenfold yield is exceptional. A hundredfold harvest is a theological claim, not a farming report. The point is the sower's character. Reckless, indiscriminate, undeterred, slinging seed into every kind of soil. I want to highlight something that I noticed just this morning as Deborah was reading. Here in my Bible, you know that I have a tendency to decide between the Common English Bible translation or the New Revised Standard Version. For this one, I selected the Common English Bible. And for most of the text, I think that's the best, most understandable. A New Revised Standard is a bit more academic. But something that happens in many Bibles, something that's present in many Bibles, are these little headers. That's not part of the ancient text. That's not part of the ancient scrolls. We added these parts later. In my Common English Bible, this says the parable of the soils. In my New Revised Standard Version, it says the parable of the sower. And in this case, I believe the NRSV is more correct. I think this story is less about the soil and more about the sower. Bishop Willimon asked a teacher at an elementary school, what's the most important characteristic of a good educator? Her answer is love sowing the seed. You don't have to be around for the harvest. He ran back. He for a while taught at Duke Divinity School. I know we have some Duke fans in the room. He ran back to his students back at Duke Divinity School, and he told them the same thing. Sling seeds with no abandon. The harvest is God's business. Bishop Willimon, by the way, gave a little aside in the book. He said the word seminary comes from the Latin word seminarium, seedbed, a school where seeds are planted for future ministry. So Bishop Willimon says the sower just loves to show, focusing on the sower. You see, friends, nobody's story is over until Jesus says it's over. If you have ever been to a memorial service in a United Methodist tradition, you know that we often read from John 12:24 that says, when Jesus is speaking of his own death, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it can only be a single seed. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Jesus is the seed cast into the ground on Good Friday. The harvest is Easter, and everything that follows, that's where our Lenten journey is headed. And friends, the sowing is still happening. The sowing continues between here and this table, in this room, in this coming week, even into distracted soil, even into tired soil, even into soil that looks used up. And if we're honest, we recognize that the soil changes. What was thorny at 25 might be really great at 50. The sower keeps going regardless. God's invitation finds a way through unexpected channels, through a song, through a conversation, through a question or comment or just a hug from somebody who loves you. Ask almost anyone in this room. I bet that there's a moment, a conversation, a song, a season of life when something found them that they weren't expecting. Friends, the sower is sowing into us, into our hearts, into our communities, into whatever comes next. Bishop Willimon's question is this. He asked this openly in his book, and I would suggest that he asked this congregation, La Jolla United Methodist Church, God is sowing. Are you listening? In a crowd of thousands at a rock concert, one man heard one word when he was actively trying not to think about anything, and it found him anyway. Whether you're looking for God or doing your best to think about literally anything else, be careful this Lent. We're all invited to the table. Always. Amen.